Welcome in, everyone. We're diving deep today, and this one's especially for you, our neighbors on St. Croix, St. Thomas, and St. John.
Absolutely.
You know, you've been sending us some pretty important stuff recently, articles, reports, with all about how property gets passed on after someone dies here in the USVI.
Yeah, right.
And kind of tied into that, all those stories about abandoned buildings, you know. So what we're going to try and figure out today is, well, how does our probate system, you know, the legal stuff around inheritance, how does that sometimes end up with buildings just falling apart and abandoned? And what's that mean for us, for our islands?
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. When you look around, I mean, it's gorgeous here, right? But those rundown places, they stick out. And the thing is, a lot of times it goes back to something that seems totally legal, you know, just paperwork and procedures, transferring property when someone's gone.
Make sense.
Got to understand that connection if we want to fix it, right? Locally. Yeah.
Okay, so first things first, let's make sure everyone's on the same page. What exactly is the probate system in the USVI? Like, someone passes away, they've got a house, land, whatever. What happens to it?
Okay, so at its core, it's about legally transferring those assets. Here in the USVI, we've got Title 15 of the Virgin Islands Code, and then there's the Virgin Islands Rules of Probate. These are like the rule books, basically.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
And the Superior Court, they're the ones overseeing all this, these estate matters, sometimes called fiduciary matters. It's all about managing someone else's property or finances after they're gone. You can find all that in 4VIC, Section 76A3.
Right, right. And from what we've seen and the stuff folks sent in, it's not just one size fits all, is it? Like, there are different types of probate depending on the situation, right?
You got it. We have four main types of probate petitions here. First, there's testamentary estates. That's when there's a will, a valid one, laying out exactly who gets what.
Straightforward, I guess.
Second, intestate estates. No will. And that's when things can get a little tricky. The law steps in to decide how the property gets split up among the heirs.
And I'm guessing families aren't always perfectly in agreement when that happens.
Sometimes, yeah. It can drag on. Then you've got settlement without administration, which is much simpler.
Ah, so there is a quick route.
Well, kinda. You need a few things. Either no debts hanging over the estate, or all the heirs agree to cover them. But the big one is, they all gotta agree to take the inheritance purely, simply, and unconditionally. That's right, from the code. No strings attached, you take it as is, everyone on board.
So one stubborn relative, and you're back to the long process.
Exactly. And last, we've got ancillary probate. That's for when someone who didn't live here owned property in the USVI. Say they lived in the States, had a place here, left it to someone in their will. Ancillary probate handles that.
Okay, so different paths, but even the easy ones sound like you got to dot all your I's and cross your T's.
You really do.
So where do things go wrong? We hear about these huge delays, sometimes years and years, right?
This is where it gets interesting, and this is where we start to see the connection to those abandoned properties. So the Virgin Islands Rules for Probate and Fiduciary Proceedings, they came out in 2019, and they spell out how it's supposed to work. The filings, the notices, appointing someone to handle the estate.executor or administrator, dealing with creditors, listing all the assets, accounting for everything. It's a process.
A long one, from what we've heard.
Well, it can be. And eventually, you get to actually distributing the inheritance. But the thing is, the reality, it doesn't always match up with those nice, neat procedures.
Well, I was going to say, years, decades even, some folks are stuck in this.
Yeah, it happens.
Why, though? What's holding things up?
Lots of things, honestly. One of the biggies is our probate courts. They're just understaffed. Leads to a backlog, plain and simple.
So just not enough people to handle all the cases.
Exactly. And then the procedures themselves, some folks say they're not clear enough, hard to follow.
So even if you're trying to do everything by the book, it's tricky.
It can be. And here's another thing. Title 15, that big code book, it doesn't have incredibly detailed rules for every single thing you gotta file, every little step.
Yeah.
So that can get confusing too.
Huh. So kind of gaps in the instructions.
In a way, yeah. And then, of course, you've got the human element. Heirs disagreeing. Maybe they fight over whether the will is even valid or they can't agree on who gets what. That can grind things to a halt, for sure.
So family drama on top of legal hurdles.
Exactly. And then the estate itself, if it's complicated, you know, lots of different kinds of assets, takes longer to sort through it all. Appraisals, figuring out what everything's worth, that can take time. And if there's missing paperwork, well, that's a whole other headache. You know, deeds, titles, who knows what else. It all has to be tracked down. And on top of all that, the court has its own schedule, its own backlog. So, yeah, it all adds up.
It sounds incredibly frustrating. You're grieving and then you're dealing with this mountain of legal stuff. And it's not just the time, right? It costs money too.
Oh, for sure. Lawyers, court fees, all those appraisals we talked about.
Yeah.
It adds up fast. And for some folks, knowing that probate is public record, that can be a deterrent too. They don't want all their business out there for everyone to see.
And of course, the emotional toll on top of everything else.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've got this long, expensive process, potentially. But how does that translate to what we see out there? The boarded up houses, the overgrown lots. How does probate lead to abandoned property?
All right, so let's connect the dots. Say probate drags on, takes years to officially transfer ownership. Well, that makes it really hard for the heirs to do anything with that property. They need to make repairs, maybe after a storm or just regular upkeep, but they can't get a loan easily. Banks don't like lending big money when the ownership isn't clear.
You can't exactly fix up a place if you don't officially own it yet.
Exactly. And it's not just repairs. If the heirs want to sell or even just manage the property, rent it out, whatever, that unclear title gets in the way. Who's going to buy a property with a question mark hanging over it, right? And without that clear title, the heirs might not even be able to make basic decisions about the place, like securing it, keeping it from falling apart further. So you've got this limbo period. No one's really in charge and the property suffers. No one's responsible. No one's got the incentive to invest in it.
And the longer it sits, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
That's how places end up abandoned.
Right. And if you've got multiple heirs who don't see eye to eye, it's even worse. They can't agree on what to do, sell, fix it up, rent it out so nothing happens. Stalemate. The property just keeps deteriorating.
This is really helping me understand how these problems with probate, they have real consequences. We see it every day in our communities, those neglected buildings. And it's not just about looks, is it?
Not at all. And you mentioned it earlier, we see it in historic areas too, like Frederickstead. These places, they're not just eyesores, they can be dangerous. Structurally unsound, fire hazards, you name it. And they attract pests, which nobody wants.
Yeah, it becomes a health issue too, right?
Absolutely. Plus, abandoned buildings, they can bring down property values for the whole neighborhood. And often, they become spots for illegal activity, which makes the whole area less safe.
So it's like a domino effect. One neglected place can drag down a whole street.
Exactly. And think about the USVI. We've got so much history, such unique architecture. Losing these buildings, it's like losing a part of who we are. And from an economic standpoint, it's a huge loss, too. Think about all the potential for housing, businesses, tourism. It's all tied together.
It's good to know that our government's aware of this and they're trying to do something about it. We've seen stuff about the Virgin Islands Abandoned and Derelict Real Property Conservatorship Act.
Yeah, that's a big one. The idea is to create a way to fix up these properties without changing who owns them. So you define what abandoned property actually means, legally speaking, and then appoint conservators, people to oversee the work that needs to be done.
Sounds promising.
It is. And the Brian Roach administration, they've been actively getting feedback from the community on this, which is important. Got to make sure whatever we do actually works for the people who live here. And the Senate's formed a special committee to look into it all, too.
So there's movement on it. That's good.
Yeah. Shows they're serious about finding solutions that fit our islands. Local action, that's what we need. And it's not just the government, right? There are groups like the St. Croix Foundation. They've been doing amazing work, taking on abandoned buildings in Christiansted, fixing them up, turning them into housing and other stuff the community needs. That's what I'm talking about, you know, taking action, making a difference right here at home.
Absolutely. It all comes back to that local impact.
It does. And think about what we've been talking about. These long probate processes, all the complications, it creates this vacuum of responsibility. And when no one's responsible, things fall apart. Plus, probate can be so expensive, heirs might not have the money left over to fix things up, even if they wanted to. And all the paperwork, the back and forth, it can be overwhelming. People get stuck and then nothing happens.
Yeah, inaction leads to more neglect, more abandonment.
For sure. And remember what we said about intestacy, dying without a will. That can really complicate things. You might end up with multiple owners, all with a piece of the property. Maybe they live far away, have different ideas about what should happen. Coordinating repairs, maintenance, anything. It becomes almost impossible.
It's a mess.
It can be. And it's interesting, there have been attempts to fix these problems. Back in 2009, there was a big push to adopt the Uniform Probate Code. The UPC, it's a model law, lots of states use it, and the idea was it would make probate much simpler, much faster.
Yeah, I was reading about that. They were aiming for estates to be opened within a week, wrapped up in 6 months if there weren't any fights, and a 3-year limit on filing claims. That's huge.
Right. It was a big deal. They wanted to make it more user-friendly, especially for smaller estates. The UPC also had ways to deal with missing heirs, and it covered stuff like power of attorney, which is important.
Seems like a good idea. So what happened?
Well, not everyone was on board. Groups like the VI Bankers Association and AARP, they raised concerns about potential for fraud and abuse of power of attorney.
So even with good intentions, there were worries about unintended consequences.
Exactly. So even though it passed in 2010, they ended up repealing it in 2011 and 2012.
Wow. Back to square one.
Pretty much. The legislature overrode the governor's veto on some key parts of the repeal, so we're still mainly working with Title 15 and those 2019 rules of probate. But the conversation about bringing back some of the good parts of the UPC, that's still going on. People are looking for ways to make this system work better.
You know, even with the current system, there are things people can do to avoid probate altogether, at least for real estate.
Yeah.
Like the transfer on death deed.
Hey, the TOD deed. That's a good one to know about. You designate a beneficiary, and when you pass away, they get the property directly. Bypasses probate completely for that specific asset.
So that's something folks can look into for sure.
Definitely. And, you know, sometimes it helps to look at what other places are doing. The British Virgin Islands, they just made some changes, raised the limit for what's considered a small estate. Now it's up to US$25,000 for people who live there and died without a will. That means more estates can go through a simplified process quicker and cheaper. Maybe we can learn something from that here in the USVI.
Makes sense. Let's dig a little deeper into the specifics of our current laws. What are some of the things that really stand out as contributing to this abandoned property problem?
Well, we've touched on intestacy, dying without a will. That's a big one. Because the law dictates how your stuff gets divided, you might end up with multiple owners for one property. Different priorities, different locations. It's tough to get everyone on the same page for repairs, even basic maintenance.
Yeah, we talked about that. What about taxes? Doesn't the USVI have an inheritance tax?
We do, and that can definitely add to the financial burden. Say you're inheriting from a sibling, anything over $30,000 gets hit with a 5% tax. That eats into whatever money you might have had to fix the place up.
So you're already dealing with probate costs, and then there's taxes on top of that.
Right. It makes it hard to prioritize maintenance, especially if the property's already in rough shape.
And all that paperwork we talked about, all the procedures, that doesn't help either.
No, it's a lot. Filings, notifications, appraisals, inventories, accountings, court hearings. It can be overwhelming, even with a lawyer. And even for creditors, trying to file a legitimate claim against the estate, it's not simple. It takes time, which means the whole thing takes longer to resolve.
So it's like the system, which is supposed to make things orderly, actually creates obstacles. Instead of helping people take care of inherited property, it makes it harder. And that leads to neglect, abandonment. It all ties together.
It really does.
But there are things happening, right?
Wow.
We talked about the Abandoned and Derelict Real Property Conservatorship Act. That's a big step by the government. And the Brian Roach administration getting feedback from the community. That's crucial, too. Got to make sure the solutions fit the problem.
Absolutely. And those community groups like the St. Croix Foundation, they're showing what can be done. Taking action, not waiting for someone else to fix it. That's inspiring, honestly.
It really is.
And there's that Unclaimed Property Act. While it mostly deals with stuff that's not real estate, it shows that the government has ways to deal with assets that are just hanging out there, no clear owner. Maybe there are lessons to be learned there, ways to apply those ideas to unresolved probate cases, the ones that are dragging on and leaving properties neglected.
It's worth thinking about, for sure. And we can't forget about disaster recovery programs, like Love City Strong. After the hurricanes, they were rebuilding homes, making them more resilient. That indirectly helps with this issue too, right? Stronger homes, less likely to become abandoned later on.
Absolutely. It's all connected.
The big complicated issue, no doubt, needs a multi-pronged approach. Smart laws, community action, people working together.
Couldn't agree more.
And it's worth remembering, even our government struggles with maintaining its own properties.
Yeah.
It's a territory-wide issue.
It is.
So, bottom line, those probate issues we've been discussing, they play a big role. And the abandoned properties we see all over St. Croix, St. Thomas, and St. John. It's not just about how things look. It's about safety, community well-being, and it even affects our economy. This stuff matters.
It does, and it matters to you directly because you live here. This isn't just some abstract legal concept. It's about the places we all share.
So here's something to think about. We've seen attempts at reform. We know the challenges. But what else can we do? What can we do locally to address this, to get to the root causes of abandonment that are tied to inheritance? We need fresh ideas, innovative solutions. Maybe it's grassroots support networks helping families navigate this system. Maybe it's education, making sure people understand estate planning. Maybe it's community projects, pooling resources to tackle these problems together.
It's a call to action for everyone listening. What can we do right here, right now, to make a difference?
If you've gotten something out of this deep dive, if you believe in what we're doing, empowering our community with information, helping people make a difference right here in the USVI, well, we could use your support. You can find us at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. That link's in the show notes.